to welcome to the studio today Grant Robinson, who is a researcher and author. Now, I ask you, how many of you have seen something odd you can't explain? A light in the sky moving quickly, maybe, or a bump in the night that you just can't explain? If you have a good story, do give us a call or save it up to share with my guest, Grant Robinson, who's researching Gippsland Mysteries for a book. Hello to you, Grant.
Thank you, Sloane.
There's got to be a few stories out there. In all my time as a journalist, from time to time we hear of these things and we think, yeah, good little story, fills a few centimetres in the newspaper, might get people talking for a couple of editions, and then we just dismiss it. No one does anything about it. It's in the budgie cage the next day.
Yeah, and these sort of things have been happening for 100 years in Gippsland. And I think what I'm trying to do is put them all together and at the same time come up with a bit of a research to support the things that I'm finding out there and the people that I'm talking to. It's really, really interesting. I started off with something that I thought might work, and the amount of people that I've had coming to me, emailing me and wanting to talk to me has been really, really great.
I saw a little advertisement in the Latrobe Valley Express newspaper. Caught my eye because I think there was a picture of a flying saucer or something in it. Caught my eye and I thought, what is this? And you were asking for people to share some stories. What has been the response from those initiatives, or were you already sort of inundated with the stories coming thick and fast?
Well, I wasn't. I thought to myself, this has been something that had been brewing in my life for quite a while, and I wanted to write, but I didn't really know where to start. And I thought, being a Gippslander and having been brought up here, living all my life in Gippsland, I thought this is a good way to start off my writing career, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little insulated area that I know really well.
Yeah.
That I can travel through and talk to people. And being having a teaching background, I've got the gift of the gab, so I can talk to people easily.
Yeah.
And I thought I could keep it concentrated in Gippsland and get enough information to get a book together.
So how did it start for you? Did you see something as a young fellow?
I did.
What?
I did. Well, I didn't see anything. I experienced some sort of afterlife, a bit of an afterlife experience, very closely connected to my family.
Yeah.
That sort of changed me, profoundly changed me. At the time, I didn't think it did, but ultimately it did, and it steered me to looking around corners and in shadows, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though I've got a mathematics and physics background, which sort of is, I've got a good grounding in science, but I still accept that in the shadows there lurks other things that we can't explain.
Given then that your background in science, do you force yourself to find a logical answer for them, for what might seem quite odd or illogical?
That's a tricky one. And I think, you know, I suppose I try to, but then sometimes you've just got to accept that these things are out there, that these things probably can't be explained with sort of nuts and bolts science. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to people, when you actually get out there and you talk to the people that I've been talking to, just the average people, pensioners, you know, your average Gippslanders, and you look at them and you interview them and you look at their eyes while you talk to them, it's very difficult not to believe them.
Mm. So you're more Mulder than Scully.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I don't know whether a lot of listeners remember the old X-Files, but yes. I don't have a Scully as yet, but one of the stories I just want to tell, just a really brief story that's probably not. It's a little bit mysterious, but it sort of opens up the cryptozoology, the big cat side of things.
Yeah.
Is about in my book, it's called the Yarram Elephant. And it happened way back in around the 1880s. And a circus, a defunct circus, I think, came down to Port Wellsborough or Port Albert. And they auctioned off all their animals. And one of them was a large African elephant.
Yeah.
And the elephant was put to work on one of the farms down there, carting water and stuff, until it ran amok and wrecked the kitchen, and the owner gave it a bit of a belting down and it escaped. And about 5 years later, they found the skeleton 30 or 40 kilometres away.
Was it at Stratford?
No, that's a different elephant story. I've actually heard that
one. Oh, see, now this is where it is, because everyone has heard what they might have written off as an urban myth. And we were talking in the office last year about the elephant apparently buried near the railway line at Stratford. I think that's what we had heard here, and trying to suss out, does anyone know that story? And someone goes, yeah, I heard that, but they had a different version of it, and they had heard it from somebody else, and that person had a different version. It's Chinese whispers. And is that the challenge for you, trying to work out which is the right whisper?
It is. It is. And I suppose, and I think you asked me earlier, or somebody did, you know, are there things that I dismiss instantly? And there are, you know, there are people that contact me that I really have to dismiss straight away. But the majority of people I really do listen to. But I have to go out there, and I have to go to the archives, and I have to go to the newspapers to try to support the sort of things that I'm hearing.
So is there evidence to support the Yarram elephant? Is there written documentation?
Absolutely.
There is?
Absolutely, yeah.
So there was really an elephant living down at Yarram?
There was. And my point to that being is that it opens up the whole big cat thing. If an elephant can wander around the scrub at Yarram for 5 years and circuses are selling their animals 150 years ago, you know, what else is going on?
Maybe there was something else. Grant Robinson, my guest, researcher, author on Gippsland Mysteries, currently out and about interviewing people, hearing the stories that might have been folklore in your community, or it might have been something that you have experienced directly. Do give me a call, 1300 295 222, if you'd like to ask Grant a question, whether he's heard of this or heard of that, or maybe you'd like to share an experience that you had. 0467 842 722, that's the number to text, but to call is 1300 295 222, and keep leaving your thoughts on our Facebook page, your stories on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ABC Gippsland. And there's quite a few on there at the moment. I mentioned the Baw-Baw Bear. Marcus was saying he's heard old timber workers from the 40s or 50s talk about that. That's probably not something that's come up for you.
No, the Baw-Baw Bear has not. That's a new one.
sure is. Deanna was saying on Facebook, a couple of years ago, she was driving to the Churchill Pool at 5 a.m. with four young girls. Due to low visibility from fog, she was doing about 20 k's. There's a house on the left as you approach the township with a really tall garage, and suddenly in the middle of I think she saw something that looked like, well, they called it a yeti. It was the size of a bear, its body. It was hard to describe. It was big, it was there, and then it was gone, says Deanna. And hopefully it wasn't the owner of the house coming out to get his paper or anything like that. But certainly a few different things that people are sharing.
Well, these are the first sort of yowie stories that I've actually had. Most of my stories have been aerial sightings, big cats and Tasmanian tigers.
Yeah. We're going to chat with Bernie in Hayfield and Chick, who has an aerial sighting. But the big cat thing, I want to get your thoughts on that. The fact that then it became a political football to some extent, that it was a pledge from the coalition that we will definitively try and sort this out once and for all, look at the evidence, went to some public servants to peruse, came back, and then it's been dismissed. How did you feel about that? Were you happy with that process?
I'm not too sure. Probably not. But if you go and actually read the DRNE's report, and read it very carefully, there is, I think it's the Whittlesea scat sample that was analysed, and it was found to have, I think, it was definitively found to have leopard DNA in the hair that was found in that scat sample. So, and I think the people that actually wrote, that came up, the doctors and the researchers that they employed to do that did not definitively rule out the big cats in Victoria. They would not go on record and say that they are not out there. So,
have you heard any of these stories? Are people still presenting big cat stories to you?
Absolutely. Oh, look, heaps of them.
Yeah.
Heaps of them. And that's, I think, a whole chapter will it's looking like a whole chapter of the book will be on big cats.
On the big cats.
The amount of big cats. And a lot of it from down Sale, Mallacoota, Lakes Entrance, a lot of sightings from down that way.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. Let's hear what Bernie has seen. Hello to you, Bernie.
Yep, hello.
Share your story with us.
Well, going back to the early 80s, I had my own truck and I was carting sawn timber to Melbourne. I got up about 1 a.m. in the morning to go to work, and I seen all the clouds were nice and bright. And I just thought it was the moon reflecting on them. And when I looked, and it was I had probably say 5 burners, and it come straight over the top of me. It was below the clouds, and anyway, I had it there. So 5 burners, say 4 in a row, and 2 or 3 behind that. And made no noise. It was a dead silent morning.
How high up do you think it was?
Well, it was about the height. It was under the clouds. Right. It was reflecting on the clouds. But it was about, when you see a Cessna flying over a town sightseeing,
yep.
So that's not real high. And it went directly above me. And as it went past, then it slightly veered to the right and went down towards Trelgan Way. Now, it made the news that night. It said it was seen from Latrobe Valley right through to Geelong.
Oh.
So it made the news, but the part that annoyed me, they said it was space junk entering the Earth's atmosphere. And I thought, what a joke.
So you don't believe that?
Oh, that wasn't. It wasn't. It went straight above me. And there was 2 other people in Hayfield seeing it, and my uncle was one of them, and he just got home, and he said it went across the, because he's 10 k's away, and he said it looked like it went straight across the, just the top of the trees, you know, towards Hayfield there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bit creepy. Thanks very much, Bernie. And how many of those kinds of stories have you heard, Grant?
Lots. And that time period that Bernie's talking about, the early 80s, the late 70s, I suppose you could call a bit of a flap time, especially for Gippsland.
Mm.
We've got the Rosedale Saucer, which was front page of the Gippsland Times in 1980.
Yep.
I've got a fascinating account from an elderly man in his 70s who was shooting out Bryagalong Way, who was hunting out there, who was pursued or not pursued, but...
Felt as if he was being pursued.
Yeah, for 2.5 hours, and his story is just unbelievable.
Really? Was it by the Rosedale Saucer or
it
by
was a
something
similar? A saucer-shaped object that he and his... He had a 15-year-old... with him at the time, and they were just petrified.
So this was following them around their property as they were...
Absolutely, yep. And it came down really close to the rooftops of Bryagalong houses, and he wants this gentleman wants to actually take me out there and show me around, and I'm going to take a few photos, and his story is fascinating.
Wow.
At the same time period, 1978.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was the time that, if you remember, a lot of people probably won't, but Frederick Valentich disappeared on the Bass Strait.
Yeah, I do remember this. Yep. 23 past 10, Grant Robertson is my guest. He's researching a book on mysteries, as told by the people of Gippsland who have experienced something very odd. She just mentioned Frederick Valentich. I do remember at that time it happening. I was in primary school at the time, and it was quite a creepy thing because there was the over and over they played his message of what he was seeing, or it was written very much in the papers at the time. He was flying over Bass Strait, wasn't he?
Yeah, going to King Island.
Yeah.
To get some crayfish.
And then bang, disappeared.
Then, yeah.
Said something about lights over the top of the plane and...
And
then it went quiet.
And his last words were, it's not an aircraft. And then he was gone.
Yeah. And they never found any trace of him, did they?
Nothing. No wreckage, no nothing. And it actually does feature in my book. Even though it's not Gippsland, Valentich spent some time prior to his disappearance at the Sale RAF base.
Yeah.
So
that's still, when you say that story, that still sends shivers up my spine. Because I remember as a little one... being quite worried when hearing about that and seeing it.
Yeah.
And that was the times when it was in the Sun at the time, and it was front page, and there was photos of him, and there was like sketches and all these things which leave a mark on an impressionable mind. So that's always stuck in my head. It'd be interesting to hear what you've got to say about it.
Yeah, well, I think that contributes to my... I think it impacted on a lot of kids' psyche, and I think I was grade 5.
Yeah.
You know, it was all over the news. Like you say, exactly the same.
Yeah.
It can't help but sort of stick in your mind.
Yeah.
And it embedded itself in there, and I think, over the years it sort of, it's sort of been a driving force behind my research and some of the writing that I have done.
It's 5 minutes to the local news, which is at 10:30. Grant Robinson telling us about the book that he's putting together. Well, what's your time frame now, Grant, to get this? Because the stories must be coming in thick and fast.
Well, they are. And I'm working my way back towards South Gippsland where I live. Mm. So I've got to do Warrigal and the Valley and Leongatha and Wonthaggi. I'm hoping for the middle of next year for it to be finished. It's probably, like I said, the amount of information that's coming in, I'll easily get a book together, well and truly.
Yeah.
So just going to find someone to publish it and we'll be on our way.
Okay. Well, yeah. There's probably some very, very interesting stories that are coming through as a result about that. So, question, what about ghosts? Does ghosts fit into mysteries?
Definitely.
Walhalla would be very interesting to visit then.
Yeah, Walhalla for sure. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's a town, an old gold mining town north of here, Tabarabara.
No, Tabarabara.
That's it. I've got some interviewed some people about there, some really interesting haunting experiences from there.
Oh, so how do you sleep at night with all this going on in your head?
Some nights it's difficult, I tell you. Yeah, it's sort of it is hard, and you get bombarded with. You know, the amount of... I have had a lot of contact with people and, yeah, it stirs you up a bit. Yeah, it does, yeah.
I bet it would.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if we get any feedback from here, we'll certainly pass that on to you. But it's been great having a chat to you. We'd love to follow this process with you until you get your publishing date and whatnot, because there's some really interesting stories and I'm sure people will be thinking now, yeah, that does ring a bell with what I've heard. Great of you to come in.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Good to have you got a working title for this book?
It's just going to be Great Gippsland Mysteries.
Great Gippsland Mysteries.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see what unfolds. But the stories that you're hearing have certainly been fascinating so far, and there'll be more to come. Good to have a chat to you. All the way from Venus Bay, researcher, author Grant Robinson. Great Gippsland Mysteries. He's working on that project at the moment. Some very, very interesting tales to tell.